instructions for everything. What to eat, how to sleep, how to work, how to dress. You may ask, how did the tradition start? I'll tell you. I don't know. It's a tradition. Because of our tradition, everyone knows who he is and what God expects him to do. Tradition, handing over this transmission of doctrines and customs and practices from generation to generation, originally by word of mouth, by example, or as Paul suggests in his letter to the Thessalonians, by letter. Now, in some cases, people start traditions. A friend of mine in another city, a large city with a downtown church, was to hold the meeting of the presbytery. And it was a very large church like this one, and we had the Spartacus entrance with the choirs, and the clergy were all in their garb, and we were welcoming the moderator of the General Assembly. It seems that he had started a new tradition. In the front of the church, it was the old-fashioned Presbyterian church with the pulpit in the center and the three chairs behind. And so he identified the middle chair as Jesus' chair. And no one was to sit in the chair but Jesus. In came the group. Somebody miscounted. There weren't enough chairs on the chancel. The moderator of the General Assembly sat in Jesus' chair. A woman. Thereafter, I was told by the good friends, there was no more tradition. Tavia had a similar problem. On the one hand, on the other hand, finally could no longer tolerate change. It's tradition. That's it. Zechariah had a similar experience in 518. The temple had been reconstructed and dedicated in 515. And 3 years later, a delegation of the Bethel comes to make a formal inquiry of the prophet concerning a feast that had been holding for over 7 years, remembering the destruction of the temple. Zechariah, give us a Torah, a teaching. Can we continue to mourn? Zechariah gave them a message on justice, kindness, mercy. Do not oppress widows, orphans, aliens, the poor. In John 4, we're told of Jesus' trip through Samaria. Now, to the Jews, the question, is God a Samaritan, would have been ludicrous. Rabbis taught that nothing good could ever come out of Samaria. Living there were these Israelites who, in the time of Nehemiah, had intermarried with heathens. They accepted only the first 5 books. Believed God appeared to Moses on Mount Gerizim. And so there he received the 10 Commandments, and Nehemiah rejected the Samaritans and their tradition. So they built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. But by the time of Jesus, that temple had been destroyed. Hatred, however, remained. Jesus walks through Samaria. Unthinkable. He walked right in the sycophant near Jacob's well and did a second unthinkable act. He asked a woman for a drink. A teacher asking for a drink from a woman? Unheard of. Rabbis weren't even supposed to speak to women in public. Not even their own wives and daughters. And here's Jesus breaking with tradition. Unthinkable. Jesus challenged traditions. The Mishnah taught that he that eats the swine, the bread of the Samaritans, is like the one that eats the flesh of swine. And Jesus offers her an invitation to give God her heart in a covenant relationship that would provide her water for life. Jews in Jerusalem, Jesus said, a time is coming when neither that mountain nor Jerusalem will be the place. True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Not only did Jesus break tradition by asking for water, he broke 6 barriers, speaking to a recognized sinner. Go call your husband, he said. She responds, I have no husband. Jesus said, no, that's right, you have 5. Living with you is one who is not your husband. The 5 were the symbol of the 5 heathen groups who brought their 5 males to Samaria, who whose worship some of the Israelites adopted. It was to this same Samaritan woman that Jesus revealed himself. I, who speak to you, am he. Friends, in this post-Christian era, we find ourselves as the woman at the well. God is like us, on our side, against those who are not like us. But now, here at the well, the baptismal font, the living water of baptism makes all of us God's children. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one with the covenant. That same covenant that Abraham received centuries before. My friend John Hoffman, who is now a retired pastor from St. Andrews in Newport Beach, California, has an essay he wrote concerning what he called the new dark ages of our Western culture. With Alistair MacIntyre, After Virtue, who labeled our philosophical age as one of emotivism, doing whatever you feel like doing with few, if any, external systems of checks and balances. John noted that the second dark age has not been coming from frontiers. It's been governing us for some time. It's our lack of consciousness that is creating our predicament. Robert Bellah in Habits of the Heart spoke of a religion he called Sheilism. She made it up. Unique. It was hers. Is that what's happening today? The sex-obsessed, drugged-out era? In opening my email the other night, behold, there was this message from Book Up Local Check. Offering me a snap sext, whatever that is. No, I didn't open it. Shades of Gray, Ashley Madison. But how else can you explain the dilemma of parents of high school students in Canyon City, Colorado? 1,000 students in school, over a third involved in the sexting scandal. Half the football team. They had to cancel the final game of the season. Well, whose parents check the calculator app to see if there are naked students? Oh, kids, they made a stupid mistake. All over the nation? Breaking federal, state, local laws? How else can you explain a woman drowning her two children to please a boyfriend and collect some money? Or son killing his parents for money? Or those two elderly people beaten and robbed coming home from dinner in Clinton Township? While in the political arena, Ben Carson didn't fabricate the story after all. It was Politico and CNN. From the pen of a former. Friends, the scenes in our culture are just plain R, C, and D. Rude, crude, and vulgar. Paul reminded the Thessalonians, they were chosen by God. They received the gospel by faith through the work of the Holy Spirit in order to share in God's glory. Paul believed that this preached word is seen as a mediated power in the presence of God. How awesome is that? Stand firm. Hold to the teachings passed on to you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Traditions. So it is today that we celebrate the Kirkland of the Tartans. It began after the defeat of the Highland Army by the English Crown Forces at Saladin in April 1776. Some say it began before that. But the English Parliament then outlawed the wearing of the tartan, kilt, playing of bagpipes, bearing of arms in Scotland. So tradition tells us that the families would carry small scraps of tartan cloth to church. And during the prayers, they would pray for their families holding their tartans. Peter Marshall reinstated the tradition in America during World War II. He was our Presbyterian chaplain in the Senate. This morning, we remember our heritage. We pray for our family. We pray for our nation. God seeks, God calls, God saves, God sustains, God keeps God's promises. Tradition, nothing can ever separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. My friend Ann Weems suggests, I celebrate the church where every child of God is hailed arms are open to the world's outcasts, or the tired, disillusioned world is invited in. Surprised by that life-giving word that Christ accepts all those with open hearts. I celebrate the mercy and forgiveness, the tears that are wiped away, the hands that are held, the gifts that are given. I celebrate the healthy, grieving, life-enhancing hope, the supportive community that holds me when I'm tempted to give up, enfolds me when I'm hurting, affirms me, reaches out to me, gives to me, receives from me. I see God's face within the lives of all the celebrants. I hear God's voice in the vision of the men and women who have been called and ordained and commissioned to lead God's people for these 2,000 years. Dear friends, celebrate the church with me. Hear the wonderful surprises of God break through this dark age and fill us with the Holy Spirit so that we can see rainbows, a light in the midst of darkness. I tell you what I have seen, what I have heard these past 58 years. This is the church I've seen. This is the church I know. This is the Lord I know. If this world leaves you thirsting or hungering, remember, the Lord will come. Stand firm. Hold to the teachings. Pray. Is there a word from the Lord today? Oh, yes. God will strengthen and hold each one of you. The Lord will direct your hearts and your minds and your wills. Believe it. Thank you so for you. Amen. And amen. I invite now my dear friend Johnston forward. Here we go. Here he comes. He has his family with him. Mr. Presbyterian, Mr. Scottish Presbyterian, will be dealing with the crooked of the tongue. We will be singing many verses of Amazing Grace in variety of forms. And during that time, we invite any one of you who desires to bring forth any tokens of your family that you might have with you or share, want to share, put on the communion table. And now I'll turn it over to John Stan, let him tell you a little about the crooked of the tongue.
A lot of truth in what the minister said of the kirk. Of course, in Scotland, the church is called the kirk. So it's like churching of the tartan. In this country, most people call tartan plaid. It's tartan. Now you could say over the piano or hanging from the balcony, you could call that a plaid. It's usually a piece of cloth about 6 feet long that you wrap around your whole body. But the plaid is still tartan. Anyway, it's very true what the minister said, how this started. But Peter Marshall was a Scottish Presbyterian minister who immigrated to this country and became the pastor of the New York Presbyterian Church in Washington, D.C. He was also the pastor to the Senate. Now, people my age might remember a movie, A Man Called Peter. That movie was made about Peter Marshall. And he really started the kirking of the tartan in the United States. And to this day, the Cathedral of Washington, D.C. does a kirking every year in honor of Peter Marshall. So I'm going to invite you, or the ushers could help, bring something up to the communion table. It doesn't have to be a piece of tartan. It can be some memorial of your family or anything. So if you wish to bring it up, to be blessed.